بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما، أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم، وأنعم علينا يا عظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اما بعد، after the praise to Allah Almighty and peace be upon his beloved prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I testify that there is no god except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the prophet and the messenger of Allah. And my brothers and sisters, tonight's lesson was more focused on the do's and don'ts of fasting. But because there's a lot of things taking place, or other events taking place tonight, and these 2 weeks for Ramadan, I just decided to make tonight's lesson more into the virtues of Ramadan and keep the conditions and the do's and don'ts of fasting to next Thursday. I start relying on Allah wa billahi tawfiq, fasting, as-siyam. In Arabic, the word Saum in Arabic, it means stopping or pausing. It does not necessarily mean stopping eating or drinking, stopping anything. And that's why when Maryam alayha salam, she said, Inni nadartu lirrahmani sawman, I had made an oath that I'll fast to Allah, I'll make siyam to Allah. She meant from behind that not to speak to anyone. So Saum in Arabic, in the linguistic term, it means just stopping and pausing, not saying or not doing anything. And it's moved from its linguistic or the original Arabic term into the Sharia term, into stopping food or water or stopping eating or drinking or a sexual contact or anything that invalidates fasting from the sun, from dawn, from Fajr all the way to sunset, Maghrib. That's what fasting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran al-Kareem, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. All those who believe, Allah had ordained upon you fasting the way He did on the nations before you, so you could increase your faith. From this verse, Surah Al-Baqarah 183, there are so many things that comes out of that verse. A lot of lessons that come out of that verse. First of all, that fasting is an obligation on every Muslim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called those who believe. So to fast you need iman. So you could increase your iman, you need to fast. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ, it's ordained on you to fast. كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, the way it was written on the previous nations before you. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordered the nations before the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to fast. Allah azza wa jal had ordered the nations before the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to fast. So fasting is not a worship that's new to the nation of Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam, but fasting is a worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written on the nations before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the prophets before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that fasting that was written on the nations before the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is different to our way of fasting that we fast these days. Our way of fasting is we fast, we do not eat, we do not drink, no sexual intercourse or anything that invalidates fasting, which the first three that I mentioned are the main ones. You're not allowed to do such from Fajr all the way to Maghrib. The nations before us was different. They had fasting, but a different way of fasting. They were probably allowed to eat certain things and not allowed to eat certain things during the fast. The timing was different than us. The days that were fasting was different than us. So they had fasting, but different than our way of fasting. Wallah subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam how the fasting was. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so you could increase your faith. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He puts a word in a verse, he puts the right word and the best word in that verse, that if you take out that word, you would never ever replace a better word than that word that Allah Azza wa Jal had put. And that's what makes the Quran unique and a great word coming from Allah Almighty. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, an indication that fasting increases your faith. Taqwa. What's taqwa? Taqwa is fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa is fearing Allah Azza wa Jal. And taqwa is what some of the scholars define taqwa, and تجعل بينك وبين محرمات الله أو ما حرم الله حاجبا أو حاجزا, is to put between you and the haram a barrier. That's what taqwa is. That's what taqwa is to put between you and the haram a barrier. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Huraira, اتق المحارم تكون أعبد الناس. Fear Allah Azza wa Jalla by keeping away from the haram, you'll be the best worshipper to Allah Almighty. So the worship is not just praying to Allah and fasting to Allah and attending the congregational prayers or reading the Quran and so on, and then commit haram at the same time. The reality and the truth of taqwa is that you worship Allah at the same time you keep away from the haram. You keep away from the haram. Because some people start to mess up with the concept of taqwa. I pray to Allah, I fast to Allah, I read the Quran, I pay zakat, but on the other side, committing haram. Committing haram. Maybe drinking, maybe eating riba, maybe doing such an action, maybe committing unlawful sex and so on. So this is not taqwa. The truth of taqwa, the reality of taqwa, هو أن تجعل بينك وبين ما حرم الله حاجزا, is to put a barrier between you and the haram that Allah Azza wa Jal had forbade you. This is the taqwa. And fasting increases your taqwa. Fasting increases your taqwa from the verse that Allah had mentioned, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so you could increase your faith. So you could increase your faith. And also taqwa is what one of the scholars also defined taqwa, هُوَ أَنْ يَجِدَكَ اللَّهُ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكَ وَأَنْ يَفْقِدَكَ حَيْثُ نَهَاكَ, is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see you wherever He ordered you to be in. So the places that Allah azza wa jalla loves, you are there. The places that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recommends you, you are there. The places that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages to be, we are there. The things that Allah azza wa jalla loves us to do, we do. And the places that Allah hates, we're not there. The places that Allah azza wa jalla discourages us from going to, we're not there. The places that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hastens to see us there, we're not there. The things that Allah azza wa jalla doesn't love us to do, we never go near it. This is the truth of taqwa. And to get taqwa, one of the exercises to increase the muscle of taqwa is fasting. One of the exercises and training to increase the muscle of taqwa is fasting and siyam. And the proof to that, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so you could increase your faith. This is one of the great virtues of fasting, to increase your faith and to exercise that soul into monitoring all the time, monitoring and knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith al-Qudsi, الصَّوْمُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ, fasting is for me, and I am the one that rewards my servants on fasting. What does that mean? All the other deeds that you do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned angels to reward you for those deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had described to us the amount of good deeds that you get for the good thing that you do, except fasting. Allah azza wa jal had said, He is the one that will reward us for fasting and no one else. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and only knows what are the great rewards from behind fasting. Why? Because fasting is that great worship that's only between you and Allah. What does that mean? When I pray, people could see me praying. I prayed, huh? Wallah, fulan is praying. Zakat, of people could see me paying zakat. Hajj, people could see me doing hajj. So these worships are worships that people could see you doing. But fasting, if I want to know you're fasting, how am I going to know you're fasting? There's nothing for you to prove it to me. Only if you go and have blood test. But beside that, there is nothing else to prove to me that you're fasting. Why? Because fasting is a hidden worship inside you. It's a hidden worship inside you. No one could see, no one could touch, no one could feel. But subhanAllah, what makes you or stops you from eating or drinking when you are alone by yourself at home? No one is watching you. What stops you from eating or drinking when you are thirsty and hungry, when you are by yourself in the room or at home? Who stops you? Your mother's not watching, your father's not watching you. Your wife is not watching you, your children are not watching, your friends are not watching, the sheikh is not watching you, there's no one there to watch you. Why don't you eat? But Allah's watching me. Why don't you drink? Allah is watching me. Why don't you give me the haram? Allah is watching me. So see that concept of believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowing that Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching you. You exercise that, because once the servants of Allah, once the believers, once the servants of Allah, the people, once they start training themselves and have that concept of Allah watching them in their hearts, then they are truly believers. And the greatest state of Iman is what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described, Al-Ihsan, huwa an ta'abud Allah ka'annaka tarah, fa'in lam takun tarahu, فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكُ. It's to worship Allah Azza wa Jal as you could see Him. But if you can't see Him, then He could see you. So what stops you from eating or drinking when you're so thirsty and hungry and you're alone at home? You know that Allah is watching you. You know Allah Azza wa Jal is recording everything on you. So you stop yourself. So you've got that faith inside you. And day by day when you fast and you sacrifice more to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's day by day when the Iman, that belief of you having that yaqeen that Allah is watching you increases day by day until you reach to a stage that the smallest haram you never get it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. That's what the believers have to build in them, that Allah is watching me. We have to build inside us that Allah is watching me. It's not enough, my friends are watching me. It's not enough the guys that come to the mosque and the brothers are watching me. It's not enough that the sheikh is watching me. It's not enough that my children are watching me. It's not enough that my wife or my mother or father are watching me. It's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or what you believe, that Allah is watching you. Allah is watching you. And that's why you stop committing the haram. Allah is watching you, and that's why you stop going to the haram. Allah is watching you, and that's why you never go near the haram. Allah is watching you, and that's why you never even think of the haram. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jalla says that the most beloved thing that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves His servants to do is what He had ordained on them. وَمَا يَزَالُ الْعَبْدُ يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. And my servants are still getting closer to me with the non-obligatory prayers until I love them. فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ وَبَصَرَهُ الَّتِي يُبْصِرُ بِهَا وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْطُشُ بِهَا وَرِجْلَهُ ورجله التي يمشي بها ولئن سألني لأعطينا ولئن استعاذني لأعيذنا. That my servant is still getting closer to me with the non-obligatory worship until I love him. And when I love him, I'll become his sight that he sees with, his hearing that he hears with, his hands that he touches with, and his legs that he walks with, or his feet that he walks with. And if he asks me, I'll give him. And if he asks refugee from me, or if he asks protection from me, I'll protect him. What does that mean? It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when His servants get closer to Him, and the true love of Allah goes in your heart, and the true yaqeen and taqwa is in your heart, knowing that Allah is watching you, whatever you do, wherever you go, whatever you think of, then you would never ever accept and allow yourself to hear what Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't want you to hear. So Allah Azza wa Jal became your hearing. And you never accept to see what Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't want you to see. So Allah became your sight. And then you would never ever touch. You would never ever touch something or walk to something that Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't want you to touch or walk to. So Allah Azza wa Jalla became your hands. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, your feet. That's what it means. The metaphorical meaning of it. That when you stop yourself from doing any haram, and that's why your whole limbs and organs do not do anything only what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your whole life revolves around Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do you get that? It's to increase your taqwa and to increase your belief in Allah Almighty, that Allah Azza wa Jal is watching you. And as I said, one of the great exercises and trains that you could get to that state is fasting. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ الصَّوْمُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. That fasting is for me, and I am the one that will reward my servants for fasting. To the state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَخَلُوفُ فَمُ الصَّائِمْ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ رَائِحَةِ الْمِسْكِ وَأَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ رَائِحَةِ الْمِسْكِ. That the changing breath, the smell that changes of the breath of the one that fasts, because it hasn't eaten for a while, or she hasn't eaten for a while, is more beloved to Allah than the perfume of musk. It's more beloved to Allah than the perfume of musk. That's how much fasting is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بني الإسلام على خمس شهادة أن لا أو شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة والحج وصام رمضان. The Islam is built on five foundations or pillars. The first pillar is to testify there's no God except Allah and Muhammad is prophet or messenger of Allah, and to perform the prayer and pay zakat, and to perform hajj and to fast. So fasting is one of the pillars of Islam. Whoever denies fasting and says there's no such thing called fasting in Islam had denied an important and an essential pillar in Islam. And whoever denies an important and an essential pillar in Islam had denied an important thing which leads them to kufr. This leads them to kufr. Whoever denies anything or any of the main essential foundations of Islam, it's kufr according to the majority of scholars or the agreement of scholars that anyone that denies an important part of Islam, which is very well known among the common and general folks or general people, it's considered to be kufr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصمهم. That the month of Ramadan is the month that Allah had revealed the Quran. Allah had revealed the Quran in the month of Ramadan. And the first time that the Quran was revealed in, was revealed at Laylatul Qadr, and that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. Indeed, that we had revealed this Quran in the night of power, the night of Qadr. Wama adraka ma Laylatul Qadr. Wama adraka. And what do you know about Laylatul Qadr? And Allah Azza wa Jal uses that many times in the Quran al-Kareem. And what do you know about it? Al-Haqqa ma al-Haqqa. Wama adraka ma al-Haqqa. Al-Haqqa is one of the names of the Day of Judgment. The Day of Judgment and the Day of Judgment. And what do you know about the Day of Judgment? This is one of the ways that the Arabs used to attract the ears and the hearings of people to make it big. Listen, we're talking about something very serious here. So give me your attention. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ What do you know about لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ? It's not as small as you think, but لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ is something great. لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. It's better than 1,000 months. تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربه من كل أمر. The الروح here, the الروح in Arabic means soul, but here الروح, when it's mentioned next to an angel, or when Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions the ruh and next to angels, or mentions the ruh had been revealed, is referring to Jibreel alayhi salam. That Jibreel and the angels descend on that night. Salamun hiya hatta matla' al-fajr. It's peace until dawn, or until the dawn comes out. So Laylatul Qadr, khayrun min alf shahr. And was this verse or this surah was revealed when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was speaking about a man from the believers of Bani Israel carried the sword and fought in the path of Allah for 1,000 months. For 1,000 months. That's about what? That's about 80 years and over. So the companions got jealous and said, Subhanallah, O Prophet of Allah, we don't get the chance to live that long. And this, and we'd love to get the chance to live longer than that, so we could get the same rewards that this person got. Subhanallah, look how the believers and the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam think. All they think about is how could they please Allah, get closer to Allah, get more hasanat, and get higher ranks and levels in the paradise. So they were so upset. I'm amazed. And Allah gave the opportunity to the people of Israel to live longer and worship Allah Azza wa Jal more, and they didn't get the age that the people of Israel got. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was revealed to him, and he said, Allah had revealed to me a surah in the Quran al-Kareem, and Allah said that Laylatul Qadr, that night by itself, to the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a gift to this nation, a gift to the Prophet of this nation, is better than 1,000 months. That night by itself, a worship in that night, and a good deed in that night is worth 1,000 months. So شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس. The Quran came down as a guidance to people. وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us the huda, the guidance and the furqan, the distinguishing between the batil and the haq, the truth and the haq. فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم. Whoever witnesses that month, then let them fast that month. Whoever witnesses that month, then let them fast that month. And of course, fasting is an obligation on every Muslim, male, female, and every mature Muslim, male and female. So it's got to be, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not judge anyone under the age of puberty or anyone that's insane. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that the qalam does not write on three people, and one of them is someone that has not reached the age of maturity, the other one is someone that's insane, and the third one is someone sleeping until they wake up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la yukallifullahu nafsan illa wasaha. Allah does not judge, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not ask from any soul more than its capacity, or what they're not capable of. So every mature Muslim, male and female, must fast the day of Ramadan. Every male and female Muslim, mature, sane, must fast the day of Ramadan. Of course, the month of Ramadan. And Ramadan, the way we name the month of Ramadan is by the new moon of Ramadan. By the new moon of Ramadan. Now we're in the month of Sha'ban. The month after Sha'ban is Ramadan. And I mentioned this before, the way the Islamic calendar, or the Arabs back then, they used to get according to the moon, lunar year, not a solar year, the way we have. And the solar year is set days. You've got January 30 days or 31 days, February every three years, 28 days, and then the fourth year, 29 days, then 30 days, 31 days, 30 days, 31 days, 31 days, 30 days, set days, 365 days a year, except the fourth year where February is 29 days, 366 days. Now the lunar year is different. The lunar year, the month could be 28 days, could be 29 days, and sometimes 30 days. Okay, the lunar year, the month could be 28 days, 29 days, or 30 days. And the way it goes, that the month, it starts with a new moon, and then you start seeing the new moon, and it starts to grow until it becomes a full moon. This procedure takes 14 to 15 days, and then starts to reduce until it becomes the way it started, no moon, and this takes about 14 to 15 days, and then the new moon comes up that indicates of a new month. So that procedure, 14 to 15 days, then 14 to 15 days. That means the month could be 28 days, 29 days, 30 days. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sumu lirayatihi wa aftiru lirayatihi fa in ghumma alaykum fa akmilu iddata sha'ban 30 yawman. That fast according to sighting the new moon, and break your fast according to sighting to the new moon, and break your fast, and end Ramadan by sighting the new moon of the next month after Ramadan with the Shawwal. فَإِنْ هُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ فَأَكْمِلُوا عِدَّةَ شَعْبَانَ ثَلَاثِينَ يَوْمًا. And if it's cloudy and you can't see the moon, then consider Sha'ban as 30 days, which is this month, consider Sha'ban as 30 days. Now, because of the technology that's been out, يعني they could approximately, not 100%, know when is the new moon coming out, and that's why some scholars go according to the calculation of when the new moon is coming. Other scholars go with just sighting the moon with the eye, sighting the moon with a, now with a microscope, nothing, sighting the moon with the eye. If they see the new moon, it's Ramadan. If they don't see the new moon, even if the microscope says that there is a new moon and it's out, if they don't see it with their own eyes, they do not fast. So that's where you find sometimes a group of people fast a day before or a day after. Why? Because there's a group of Muslim scholars go with the calculation. Okay, if this moon is out, whether they saw it with the sight or not, since it's out, they go ahead with it. And others stick to what the Prophet Muhammad said, sight it. And sighting it has got to be with the eye, it's got to be with the normal sight of a person. And a lot of disagreement happens. Inshallah, one day the Muslims could unite on that, inshallah. And the other topic is that the scholars disagree with is sighting the moon in one place in this world. Does it apply in all places, all countries around the world? Or sighting the moon has got to be for every area and every side or every country sights its own moon. And that's where also there's some of the disagreement among the scholars. Some scholars say, if the moon is sighted in Saudi, that means it applies on us. Other scholars say, no, Australia is Australia. There's 8 hours difference between us. If we sight the moon here in Australia, it's we have to fast. If we don't sight the moon here in Australia and America sighted the moon, then we don't fast. So that's where another disagreement happens among the scholars, where some say, okay, since the moon has been sighted in a Muslim country, in another country, we go ahead with them. And others say, no, I'm in Australia, I sight the moon in Australia, and I'll go ahead what I sight the moon in Australia, even if other countries don't sight it, or even other countries sight it, I'm here, if I sight it, I fast, if I don't sight the moon, I do not fast. And that's where the disagreement comes. And inshallah, usually there's a khalifa, a Muslim leader, he's the one that announces that the fasting, and every Muslim and every Muslim country must go ahead with it. But this is no longer exist, and inshallah will exist once again if the Muslims really wake up to themselves and get together the way their predecessors got together and feed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and put their personal conflicts on the side and unite it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, ikhwani, Allahumma ij'alna min alladhina yastami'una al-qawl fayattabi'una ahsana. And next Thursday, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, I'll start with the intense topic. We might go for about 45 minutes, maybe to an hour, about the do's and don'ts of Ramadan, bi'idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I have any questions, or the brothers have quick questions, please ask. Just a quick announcement about Hajj. There's brothers and sisters who are interested in going to Hajj. I do encourage you to put your name now so you could have the freedom of choosing the day that you come back. So you don't say when you're there, I want to come back on this day, and then you come late and then we've got no longer space for you to book for you when you come back. So if you put your name now, you have a big opportunity to come on the day that you want, whether the second day of Hajj, third day of Hajj or whatever. So those brothers and sisters are interested in going to Hajj, so I'll be going this year myself. And there's a group of brothers going this year. The whole organization of the Hajj has been organized by us, and alhamdulillah, we've got if not the best, one of the best accommodations for people with the best price. And keep in mind, there is no profit made at all, no profit at all, because that's the first rumor that comes out. Okay, if you want to pray 2 rak'at for istikhara, do you do it before or after witr? It's better to do it before witr, pray 2 rak'at istikhara, then rak'at witr. But if you really prayed witr, there's nothing wrong with that. Can you use a... drop or during fasting? Yes, you can, but inshallah we'll speak about that next week. If I wear the niqab and I go to Hajj, do I have to take it off in ihram? Because I would find it very hard to take it off. Well, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, take it off. The woman does not wear niqab and she does not wear quffazain. But if there is a fitna or a female fees a fitna on her, then she could wear a hat and the veil could come down. Is it haram to wear niqab in ihram? Same question. Okay, is there a hadith saying that Aisha put her finger in her mouth to disguise her voice while talking to the men? Or I heard something like that, but I'm not sure how authentic the hadith is. Inshallah, I'll check the hadith. Is it permissible if you write SWT, subhanahu wa ta'ala, after writing Allah's name? To make it summarize, I do prefer someone to write the full. Subhanahu wa ta'ala is better. Yeah. Okay, if I wear the hijab and I find it hard to cover my feet, what is the ruling on this? And is there proof stating that a female should cover her feet? Yes. There's only majority of scholars, only Imam Abu Hanifa says that the feet is not awra. The rest of the scholars, majority of them, the great number of scholars say the feet is awra. And this is because of the hadith that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned. And one of the hadith is that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he saw Asma wearing light clothes, he said, oh, Asma, when the female reaches the age of puberty, she's only allowed to show her face and her hands. So everything else beside them is awra. And as I said, the majority of scholars say it's awra. Okay. If someone gifted you a present on your birthday after you told them that you don't celebrate it, is it haram to accept the gift? If I did accept the present, what am I expected to do with it? Hello, and you should explain to them that there's no such thing called birthday in Islam and so on. If you already accepted the present, of course, don't go throw it back to them. Just, you could keep it. And if you don't feel comfortable with it, just donate it. If you don't feel comfortable with it, just donate it. Okay, inshallah. Sarah, inshallah, Ikhwani, we've got a mosque open day for the, especially targeting non-Muslims. So if you know any non-Muslim, drag him here, inshallah, bring him here. Maybe Allah Azza wa Jalla open their hearts. And the other thing is, just the brothers to be informed that, alhamdulillah, we bought the big land behind the mosque. Here's the house. Behind the house, there's a big land, 2,300 square meters. Alhamdulillah, we bought the land at the back of the mosque. And this land could be useful for a lot of things. And inshallah, in the future, we could buy this house and then extend over and put it over the tunnel. And then you've got a big space for the mosque. You could extend the mosque. You could do it as a car park and so on. And now the brothers are collecting donation for the land. It cost $1.2 million. And they only paid $200,000 for the deposit. So it's either brothers, if they're willing to, or the sisters and the brothers, willing to donate or even give a generous loan. If you have money on the side, $10,000, $5,000, you could give that to the brothers at the Jam'iyya, at the LMA, and then later on you could pick up that money anytime, just inshallah, to get that land, inshallah. The thing is, if that land gets built on it, then it's a loss for the Muslims, and then no longer you could use it anymore. So it's, yani, at the end of the day, whatever you do on that land is good. And the other thing is,
what's that?
Okay, inshallah, this Sunday, there's a gathering. And pamphlets, inshallah, should be given out. If not tonight, tomorrow, there's a gathering, public gathering at Parry Park, just the beginning of Parry Park, for all Muslims and different organizations, under the title of Stop Victimizing Muslims, to send a message to the government, the media, the non-Muslims, that Muslims have been victimized, and the Muslims do not accept what's going on around or what's been spoken about the Muslims, just to send a positive message, and especially after the hijab issue that's been raised again in the media and so on. And subhanAllah, in France, 10 years ago, they were speaking about it, and now they implemented it. And I guess if we don't really do something about it now, maybe in future our kids then might suffer. And inshallah, it's a positive gathering with all the different Muslim organizations, Sunday, 1 to 3pm. 1 to 3pm, and there'll be different lecturers. One of them is myself, inshallah. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you all. May Jazakum Allah khair. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless this Ramadan for you. I give you my last advice. Do not fall into the web of the shaitan, where he says, when Ramadan comes, hit it. And start praying, fasting, come into the mosque. That's one of the tricks of the shaitan. Because once Ramadan comes, you're not warmed up for Ramadan, so you collapse. And by the time you get yourself standing up for Ramadan, Ramadan ends, and once again you're back to your old habits. No, train yourself from now. Hit it from now. Start warming up for Ramadan. So when Ramadan enters, you are fit enough to start, inshallah, do the plans that you've had in Ramadan, from the prayer and the worships and so on. And inshallah, ikhwani, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make this month as a push and a strength for us for the next Ramadan, inshallah. Subhanakallah, bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.